Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Love is in the air. Welcome back to the Grow with Marjan podcast. And today is a long-awaited Valentine's Day special episode. Roll the intro, please. So last week, I asked you guys to send me your anonymous messages, anything you want me to talk about that is like love or relationship related, or tell me your dilemmas, and I'm just gonna give you like blunt, like straight to the point, unsolicited advice, because I'm here to do that for you. And obviously, I don't have any relationship experience, but I'm a very smart person and I can help you answer, like solve these problems, okay? Also, I'm very nosy, so like I have experience from secondhand. You know what I mean? Like from being around people, like listening to everyone's problems, like just being up in everyone's business in a good way, okay? In a good way. So yeah, I feel like I'm pretty qualified to give you advice, even if I haven't been in a relationship. And at the end of the day, I'm not a therapist, like take it with a grain of salt, but I'm going to try to be as honest as possible. So let's jump right into it. Let's start with an easy one, okay? Simple and easy. This person asked, money or love? Okay. How do I go about this? I mean, if you know me in person, right? Obviously, you would know that money. No. I'm just kidding. I just feel like I don't understand why as girls or as women, we always try to, not as women, I feel like as a society, we always try to put these two things against each other as if like they're mutually exclusive. Like it's like you either have to choose money or you have to choose love. Like I'm guessing like when it comes to relationships, right? Are you going to marry someone you love or are you going to marry someone rich? Like why is society trying to like make these two things mutually exclusive? Like that's clearly not the case. Like I'm not going to marry someone just because they have money, and I'm not going to marry someone just because I love them and live under a bridge. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, it's both for me. And when it comes to money, right? I'm not saying like, come on, like be a gold digger or whatever. For me, money is like, you're a man, you can financially support me and provide for me, because that's like my values, is that as a man, you have to be able to provide for the family, and I'm the family. The family in question is me, me and you. So if you're not in a position to like financially provide for me, I'm not like a 50-50 girl. You know what I mean? Like, of course, I'm going to make my own money. And when things get hard, I'm going to put in my own money. Like, of course, I'm going to contribute to the household, things like this. But at the end of the day, right, for me, if you're coming and asking me to marry you, you have to be like a grown man that has the financial means to support a family and support this life. And that's one aspect of it, right? If you're not at that stage yet, like if you're not ready to have that type of commitment, even if it's like financial, then for me personally, I feel like you're not ready yet. Like you're not ready as a man for me to get married to. So that's my personal opinion, right? That's one aspect of it. That's one side from looking at it, because money brings maturity. And well, I don't know how much, okay, maybe not maturity completely, but I feel like getting to the stage that you have your own income, you are financially independent from your parents, and you know how to make wise financial decisions, like you know how to invest your money, you know how to spend it wisely, you know how to budget, all that, then you have the money to like support a family, then I think in some ways you are more mature than someone who's just trying to start out, you know? So that's why for me, that's one aspect of why I think it's important for me to marry someone who I love and of course has money. But there's another perspective of why I need to marry someone that will be able to provide a certain amount of financial security to me, is that in Islam, because I'm Muslim, in Islam there is actually a clause where when a guy has to marry a girl, he has to ensure that when a guy is marrying a girl, he has to ensure that after marriage, he's able to provide for her the same or better lifestyle that she has at her parents' house. So that's actually an Islamic regulation, and that's something that is set in place. And if you're a man of faith, which I'm going to marry a man of faith, you have to be able to abide by that, because that's what God said, you know? So for me, like, alhamdulillah, which means thanks to God, I do have a comfortable life. Like, I'm not like a crazy lifestyle, but I have a comfortable life and I like the things I like and I enjoy my life, you know? So that's why if someone wants to marry me, like, they have to be able to have at least that much to support my lifestyle. And like, if they love me, they will want me to be comfortable and be happy. And like, money is a big part of it. So that's another aspect of, like, you know, financial stability and all that. And then on the other hand, there's something that's like, I always think about, right? There's all these women that marry someone who's broke, but they're like, yeah, he's ambitious. He's like, I feel like I've seen this a lot, even on the internet or like IRL, you know, people are like, he's really ambitious. He's like working hard, blah, blah, blah. I'm his woman. I'm going to stuck by him. I'm going to stick in his side, by his side, watch him grow his empire, like king and queen, you know? And they actually do stick by them, right? However many years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever, right? And they grow up, like, they build this thing together. Mostly, like, the guy, it's either they work together or the guy is like working separately. But the woman is the one who's like suffering alongside him all these years, right? Not only financially, mentally, like everything. And then when the guy gets rich, because money changes people. And I'm not saying money doesn't change women, okay? Money changes everyone. So then when these people get rich, this man, he's like in his peak years of his life and he has all this money, right? And I'm not saying money doesn't change women, but I feel like money tends to make men more disloyal. So because now they have all this money, all this power, right? And then they just go out and like cheat on you. Oops, sorry. You were the very faithful, loyal woman that stick by his side all these years. And when he has the money, he's not treating you right. He's treating other women outside. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to be like, I'm not saying this happens to everyone. I'm not saying this is every man, but I've seen it happen. It's really true, you know? And so I feel like money changes people a lot, and I don't want to stick around and see what happens. I don't want to find out what happens when money. I want to see you with money already. This is your personality that you have developed. If you are like this with money, then I don't have to worry about you without money, you know? But I don't want it to be the other way around. So for me, I want to see someone who's mature, who knows what they want, who knows how to work hard and be in that place of life. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but if someone has money, right, that says a lot about their character. And that's someone that I want to marry because they're hardworking, they're disciplined, they're consistent. They don't give up. They have very strong mental power. They have very strong, like, work ethic. And that's the type of person I want to live with. I want to spend the rest of my life with. That's why they're not lazy. They're all this and that. So that's why for me, that, like, having money is not just like a symbol. It's not like, oh, he's rich. Having money shows a lot of different things. I'm saying unless, like, he comes from a rich family, but even if he comes from a rich family, you're able to tell. Like, someone comes from a rich family and they just vacation all year, but someone comes from a rich family, but they still go to office every day from like first person in, last person out. They still work like super, super hard to help their family out. So I feel like you can tell. So I said all of this. I said all of this, and I'm sure there's many, many, many more points. But at the end of the day, don't ask me money or love, because I'm going to say both. I'm never going to marry someone just because of love, because love is just a feeling and it's inconsistent and it can go away. And if I just love someone, that's not enough for me to personally marry them. Yeah, so money and love, hand in hand. Sorry if it's controversial, sorry if it sounds harsh, but yeah, that's blunt. Also, to my girls outside, I want to give you guys like a word of advice. The thing is, right, I have been very lucky to have these like very strong gentlemen, male role models, male figures in my life, which is my dad and my grandpa. And both of them are like amazing men. They're like honestly the best men that I know. Like obviously because not only because they're my dad and my grandpa, but just because they're so respectful, they're such good gentlemen. They like whenever I go out with them, or even if they're going out with other female family members or whatever, they would never let a woman pick up a heavy thing. They would never let a woman pay. They would never let a woman do anything. Even my grandpa, he's like almost 90 years old. He doesn't let me lift a finger. He doesn't, like, even if we go out, he would never let me pay for anything, nothing, right? And that's not just because I'm his granddaughter. Like, he would just, that's just the way it is. And my dad always told me, ever since I was like a teenager, he always told me, don't have low standards. Like, he always said this to me ever since I was a teenager. He would say, like, girl, you deserve someone better. You need someone who's going to be a real man to take care of you. You deserve someone really good, like, blah, blah, blah. Don't ever lower your standards. And he always also told me this because I did go through a feminist stage. Like, right now, I still consider myself a feminist, but when I went through this phase that I was like, you know, like, when I get married, it's going to be like 50-50. Like, I think men and women should be equal, blah, 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 blah. I was saying this to my dad, right? Because my dad and I, we talk a lot about like these things. But you know, my views have changed a little bit ever since then. But he said that, like, when I told him that, he was like, girl, listen, don't ever do that. When you get married, your man has, it's his responsibility as the take care of you. It's his responsibility to financially take care of the household. He has to be the breadwinner. He has to be the provider. That's just a man's instinct. That's what a man was built for. He said, you go live your life, you do whatever you want to do, you make your own money, you make your money with the things you're passionate about, you build your own stuff, but at the same time, don't ever let a man, don't put yourself in a position where you are the provider of the family, or where you have to equally provide as the man does. Because he said that's the masculinity in a man, is that he was built to provide for you. He was built to take care of you. So let a man do his job. Let him take care of you. Let him provide for you. Don't, if you lower your standard, he said, then the men are gonna lower their standards too. It's all up to you. And that's why I just have this idea now. It's just in my head. Like, it can't be any other way around. Like, that's just the way it is. That's how my grandpa did it. That's how my dad did it. And it's not a lot to expect from a man to take care of me. That's just his masculinity has to come in and take care of me. And I feel like, yeah, like, now in the modern world, maybe it's like controversial, but there are men out there that exist and believe in these values. And even if you look at it like evolutionarily, right? That's just, That was the job of the man. The man, breadwinner, the woman, caregiver. But, hello, don't get me wrong. Now the world have changed. Women don't have to stick to caregiving. Yeah, I'm going to care for him. I'm going to care for the family. I'm going to provide a lot of emotional side of things and take care of the emotional side of the family. You take care of the financial. It's not 50-50 every day in terms of like what we contribute to the family. We contribute different things. But at the same time, I'm going to be doing my own jobs. I'm going to be doing my own, making my own money, building my own empire while you build your own empire. But your empire has to include moi, me. So we just finished talking about a girl's perspective. Now let's talk about a guy's perspective. So a guy sent in the following question. He said, I'm talking to two girls. Both are so close to my heart. One is so beautiful and I'm attracted to her. The second one is beautiful too. She prays for me, so religious, which is why I really like her and want my wife to be like that. But I'm not attracted to her. What should I do? Sad emoji. So, you know, when I saw this, like, my first reaction, right? My first reaction was like, none of these two girls are your wife. These two girls, none of them, neither one of them is your wife or your future wife. So you gotta let them go. And here's why. If you meet someone that you're so in love with, you would know immediately that that's the person you want to marry. And you wouldn't, and like, you, if you're in love with someone, right, you wouldn't even have space in your heart to be talking to other girls. So if just the fact that you're talking to two girls at the same time, that should be an enough sign for you that neither one of them is your future wife, because neither one of them is important enough to you to be even exclusive, to even make the commitment. Because I know that to men, when they know the one, they will lock her down and they're never gonna, like, at least in the beginning, bro, like, you're not gonna be thinking about other girls. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, neither one of them. You have to let them go. Like, be a decent person and don't drag them onwards anymore, because I think that you and them both deserve to be with people that are fully committed to them and fully 100% paying their attention to them. And if you want me to, like, break it down to you, so the first girl, she's very pretty and beautiful, and you're like, oh my god, like, I scored this girl, like, this girl is talking to me, she's pretty, like, I know it makes you feel good, but if there is just attraction but there's not, like, the qualities that you look for in a wife, then she's not the one. And on the other hand, the other girl, she has the qualities that you want in a wife, like, she's religious, all that, but she doesn't have the attraction to you, then she's not the one too. Like, the second one is what you're ideally in your head, the person you want to marry, but the attraction is just not there, right? So you're making this scenario that, oh, what if she could be to both of them? But just don't torture yourself, just let them go, and you're gonna meet the right one. When you're gonna know when you meet the one that is pretty to you, she has the qualities that you want, and yeah, you're gonna meet them. Just don't waste your time with neither one of them and move forward. You know, always move forward, and you're gonna meet the right one, hopefully. Next one, coming in from a girl, she said the following message. Hi, I just had a terrible end to a short relationship. That person made me feel like I was in the wrong because I ended it, as he disrespected me and insulted me. Nevertheless, I felt guilt and apologized because that's what I thought was right to do. In regards to Allah, as I didn't want to have wronged anyone, and also in general, I never had a bad relationship with anyone. So she didn't want to have a bad taste, so that's why she apologized, even though he was the one who disrespected her. He refuses my apologies and insulted me more. But through all that, I still feel some guilt that I wronged him. But as I am writing this, I realize it is more of a guilt towards Allah than him, because it was a haram relationship. I know time will heal all, but I feel terrible at the moment as my intentions were pure from the start, and I keep asking Allah to forgive me. I don't know if this fits in your podcast, but I wanted a place to vent, I suppose. Thank you. If you're reading this, keep going with your work. You are doing amazing things, really. May Allah bless you and make your life happy and full of rizq, sister. Thank you so much for your kind words, and thank you. Of course, this fits in perfectly with this podcast. And basically, when I was reading this, right, my first thought is that I feel like this guy, okay, I don't know anything about him, but just based off of what you told me, I feel like he's gaslighting you, girl. Like, why is he making you feel bad about leaving him, period? Like, first of all, that's the whole purpose of dating someone, haram relationship or not, okay? The whole purpose of dating someone is to get to know them and see if you guys are suitable match or not, right? So if you're a suitable match, okay, move forward, marriage. If you're not a suitable match, break up, next person, right? That's the whole purpose. Let alone the fact that he just blatantly disrespected and insulted you, you know, so that, like, you have more than enough reason to leave him, to, like, not continue with this relationship, right? And I'm so glad, like, I feel like that's a blessing for you that you ended a relationship shortly, like, very quick, because even from the beginning, it feels like that's like a toxic person, you know, that they're trying to blame you, trying to guilt trip you, trying to, like, gaslight you into thinking, like, oh, like, you did me wrong, blah, 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 you know. Even gaslighting, girls, gaslighting is not just by verbal, gaslighting could be by action. So if someone is like, I don't accept your apology, like, that's a form of gaslighting too, because they're trying to make you feel bad about something that they did. You know what I mean? They're trying to make you think that, oh, I'm the one who's wrong here, even though they are the one who's wrong. So it's very easy to get trapped in this situation, but that's why I'm saying it's a blessing for you that you got out of it shortly instead of falling into the pattern, because the more you go deeper, you go in these type of patterns, the harder it is to get out, right? So what I'm trying to say is, you don't need a reason to leave a relationship if the vibe is not right. If you're not vibing, that's enough reason to leave it. You don't owe anyone anything. And if it's to the extent that they literally gave you a reason to leave, it's not just a feeling, but it's like they actually gave you a solid reason, then of course you have the right to leave. You have the right to leave a relationship regardless. It takes two to make a relationship. So to him, you don't owe him anything. So I feel like your first mistake is apologizing to him for ending the relationship. Like, you don't owe him nothing. If anything, he owes you an apology. I mean, he does owe you an apology for disrespecting you. You know what I mean? Like, power to you for leaving it, for recognizing that he's been an asshole and leaving him. First of all, power to you. You know, kudos to you. And secondly, you don't owe him an apology. Don't feel guilty. That's just him trying to guilt trip you into thinking like you need to apologize to him. So my word to you is that you didn't need to apologize. So who gives a crap if he doesn't accept your apology or not? Who gives a crap? Like, that's so petty. Like, are you like a 12-year-old boy? I do not accept your apology. Like, okay, so what? Like, okay. Oh my God. Oh no. Oh no. He doesn't accept my apology. He refuses my apology. Oh my God. Oh my God. What am I going to do? Okay, don't accept. What the heck? Move on. Like, what? Block, girl. Block. And then the guilt, get over it. I told you, you have any right. Even if the vibe is not right, you have any right. You don't owe him anything. He owes you for talking to a girl like you, a girl, a female, you know? I'm sure he doesn't get many of those. Anyways, I'm not trying to be mean. What I'm trying to say is, really, don't feel guilty, because it's your right to leave a relationship if you don't feel it. And don't feel guilty towards him. That's it. Done. Just block him and move on. But then from the other aspect of it, right, when it comes to God, I want to say, if we don't make a mistake, how would we know that it's not the thing for us? You know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm sensing that this is like maybe your first relationship or something. And if you didn't try this, right, if you didn't try to go into a haram relationship and like feel super guilty and feel super bad about it, then how would you know that relationship is not your thing? And now you know, like, now you know when the right person comes along, the person that you're actually meant to marry, you know that, okay, I don't do relationships. If you really like to get to know me, come send your parents to talk to my parents and we can get to know each other. We're not dating, but we can get to know each other under our parents' approval and supervision for the purpose of getting married from the beginning. You know what I mean? And I know you said your intentions were pure, but I feel like a lot of the times, for even if either side, girl or boy, if either one of them has pure intentions for marriage, the only way to verify this is to go through the parents. And if they're really, really, if they are actually their intentions pure, then, you know, you will go through with it and get to know each other, and you either make it or you don't. That's it. Simple. And so that's the first thing. Don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty, because you were meant to have that lesson. You know, in the Quran, right, there is a verse that's one of my favorite verses ever. And it says, not a single leaf falls from the tree unless it is with the knowledge of Allah, unless it is with the approval of Allah. So Allah knows, God knows every single thing that's going on, right? Every single thing, even if it's just a single leaf falling from the tree, is already pre-calculated from God. So nothing happens without a reason. Every single thing that happens is for a reason. You missed a train today, there is a reason. You fall, there's a reason. You get into a relationship, there is a reason. There you go. That was your lesson. That was meant to happen. And maybe things could have gone differently, but things happened the way they did because there was a lesson to be learned. There was something for you to take away from. So don't feel sorry about it. And if your problem is God, you just have to ask for forgiveness and believe that God is going to accept it. And that's faith, because you ask for forgiveness and in your heart you know that you're not going to like go through this whole haram thing again. Then you trust that God is going to forgive you. That's it. Don't feel guilty. I mean, you have to believe and have faith in God's forgiveness, and you know that he's the most forgiving, and so you don't have to have any doubt. Like, even having doubt, is God going to forgive me or not? That takes away from your forgiveness. You know what I mean? You just have to full-heartedly do tawbah and full-heartedly believe that God is going to forgive you. That's all. So that's it. I hope that this helps to you. I mean, honestly, like, The guy, asshole, forget about him. God, just pray. And, you know, everything was meant to happen. And if you go back in time, trust me, everything will play out exactly the way it did play out, because you were exactly meant to go through that. And nothing happens without a reason. So just try to learn the lesson that was brought to you from this experience. And making a mistake is not a shame, but making it twice will make you a dumb person. So that's it. Just learn what the lesson is and don't repeat it. That's it. Simple. And ask for forgiveness. Move on. That's it. I hope that helps you. So the next message is also from a Muslim sister, and she said the following message. So there's this guy, but I'm a Muslim. I used to talk to him a lot, and I got very, very attached. And the conversations weren't really halal. Should I continue talking? We did talk about marriage, but that's not happening anytime soon. Around 1 year later. Should I completely stop talking to him? ? I would love advice in terms of Islam. And how do I remove my attachment with him? Because I'm very emotionally attached to the person. So I feel like, first things first, right? There's a few things to address. First thing is marriage. Second thing is Islam. Third thing is attachment, right? So let's talk about like the Muslim side of things first. And then I'll talk about the attachment. So Islamically speaking, right? If you guys are talking a lot, I'm not assuming that you're dating, but if you're talking and you feel like the conversations aren't really appropriate for like a Muslim man and woman to have, or just any man and woman to have, actually, as a Muslim girl, to have these type of conversations, then just don't have those type of conversations, you know? I know that like you said you did talk about marriage, and I'm assuming that your intentions are to get to know him for marriage. Then if your intention is just to talk to him about that, then yeah, I guess it's fine. But don't talk about the things that aren't halal to talk about with a non-mahram, you know? Because at the end of the day, you guys are not mahram yet. And so that's the first thing. And I'm just think about, would Allah approve of this? Would God approve of you speaking in this manner with someone? And I feel like that's a good standard to know where is the border, you know? So if you think like, oh, I don't think God will approve me saying something like this, then I'm not going to send a message, because that's the best way to like determine what is over the border and what is not. And the second thing is like, you're asking, should I continue talking? And you're saying we did talk about marriage, right? But that's not happening anytime soon. And I don't know why, like a lot of the times, one misconceptions a lot of like young couples have is like, oh, when the time gets right, when this happens, when that happens, we're going to go like do this. But the truth is, right, that's just kind of like an excuse. It really doesn't matter if like what stage in life you are. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. Like, I don't care if you're about to have DSE. I don't care if you're about to graduate. I don't care. Like, that's just an excuse at the end of the day, because no one is asking you to get married tomorrow. All you have to do is make the parents meet. That's it. Just at least make it open that you're openly talking to a guy with the intention of marriage. And if he's serious about marriage, then he would come forward with his parents. And I think maybe it's a bit late, but it's never too late. So just ask him to, if you were serious about marriage with this guy, you have to figure it out. First of all, do you want to marry him? Yes or no? If you're like, I don't know, then the answer is no, okay? If you had to think right now when I said, do you want to marry him? And you had to think, the answer is no. It means you don't want to marry him. You do not want to marry him, okay? If you knew you were going to marry him, you would have said yes immediately in your head. That's like your instinct. So if the answer was no, you had to think, let that man go. Let him go. Wait for the next one. There's plenty of fish in the pool. Let him go. He's not the one. Don't waste your time. The longer you wait, the harder it is going to be to let him go. So if that's the case, let him go. If the answer is yes, and for whatever reason, maybe he's the one who doesn't want to like come talk to your parents, or maybe you're scared to like approach your parents about it, just take a leap of faith. Make a prayer and ask his parents to come talk to your parents. Just tell him to give your mom's number to his mom and ask his mom to call your mom and be like, I'm calling in regarding to my son. He's interested in your daughter. We want to get married, da, 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 and we're going to come meet, and we want to like have this intentions. So please like go ahead and get to know him under your parents knowing that you guys are going out with the intention of marriage. And that's a big test for him, you know? He have to put on his big boy pants. If you want to get married and he really hesitates, he's like, no, let's wait in 1 year. Like, I need to get a job first. I need to do this, that. Mm-mm, no, he's not serious. He has doubts about you. Do you want to marry someone that has doubts about you? Do you want to marry someone that is afraid to tell his parents that he wants you? He's not ready to fight for you yet? No. Then that's it. Just let him go, you know? I feel like there's a lot of doubt in this question. And I feel like doubt is never a good thing in marriage and in relationships, because you would know if you love someone and you want to marry them and you want to spend the rest of your time with them, or at least you want to get to know them in the light of marriage. You would know, because I would meet someone, for example, right? And I'd be like, this person is very attractive, but I would never even for 1% think about marrying them, you know? Even if they're interested in me, if I can't see them in a sense of marriage, I would never go ahead and talk to them in that way, you know? But then I meet someone and I'm like, wow, this person, they're attractive. They have all the qualities I want in a man, and they could potentially be the one that I want to marry, then I would never go ahead and date them. I would directly go get to know them in a way that is with the intention of marriage, you know, right away from the beginning, from the very beginning. So that's what I'm saying. If you have a lot of doubt, that's not a good thing. I'm sorry to tell you that. And that's the first thing. So I hope you can really be honest with yourself. Don't think too much. If you have to think and convince yourself that you like him, oh, in 1 year when things turn out, no. Then the answer is no. I'm sorry. And for the attachment, right? Actually, I just watched this video from The Wizard Liz on YouTube. She's very famous, and she just made a video about detachment from people. And she explained a lot about, like, why you could be attached to someone and how to detach, why to detach. So you should, I feel like, honestly, just go watch her video. It was called... let me Google. The video is called How to Detach from People and Situations by The Wizard Liz. So you should go and Google it and you'll find her, okay? And watch that video and she will teach you exactly how to do it. But from my perspective, I feel like attachment to someone, become really attached to someone, comes from something that you lack from inside, okay? So I think the first step is to find out why you're attached to this person. You're attached to him because he's giving you something that you don't have internally, right? That's something that you crave for internally. So you have to find out, what is it? What is it that I'm seeking in him? What is making me attached to him? Is it because he gives me attention? Is it because he makes me feel loved and seen? Am I attached to this person because we have a good time? Am I attached to this person because he compliments me and gives me a better sense of self-worth? Is it because he gives me confidence? Is it because he makes me feel good about myself? Is it because he makes me feel alive? Is it because he makes me feel fun? You have to find out what is the reason. You have to sit down and really, like, think about it. What is the reason that you feel attached to this person? And a good way is, like, imagine him not being in your life. Just imagine. And what will disappear from your life if he's not there that will make you miserable? Like, let's say if I stop talking to this person, I'm not gonna get a good morning text every day. And what does that mean? I will feel lonely. Okay, then why? Then what is the problem? Is that you feel like if you lose this person, you're gonna be lonely. And that's why you're attached to them, is because you don't have any other friends. So then how do you fix it? Go find friends and fill the void with something else. And a lot of the time, it's something that you have to work for internally. So a lot of the time, a lot of girls who grew up with parents who didn't really say, like, openly affirm them, like, I love you, or like, I'm proud of you, like, da da da, like that, right? Then they will seek validation from men. Like, that happens a lot. So it's like, if your parents don't always say, like, I'm proud of you, and like, blah, blah, and like that, right? So they will seek validation from men, and that's why they become attached to the guy, is because he gives them the validation, like, you're pretty, you're this, you're that, you know? And if that's your situation, then you have to find out which specifically, what is he validating you in? Like, which area is he specifically validating you? And once you find out what is giving him the power to make you attached to him. Once you figure that out, then it would take away his power, because you know what the pattern is, you know? Once you know what the problem is, you can solve it. You can work it on yourself. You can find things to fill the void. You can find things to avoid the same patterns. And yeah, I just, there's no one answer I can give you. You just have to work on it internally, honestly. That's just like something from within to work on. Next one is a short one. It's just a question. How to know if the other person is sincere when it comes to relationships, right? And easy answer. If you have the question, is this person being sincere? Then they're not being sincere. Easy. If someone is sincere, you're going to 1,000% know. And I'm speaking from experience. Like, anytime a guy approached me for marriage, I knew that 1,000% they're approaching me for marriage. Because how, like, the way they approach is like, talking to my parents, talking to my dad, like literally before even coming out to see me, we'll go out and have coffee at my dad's office. Like, that's the type of commitment. Then that's how you know someone is sincere, okay? And that's it. I don't know what to tell you. If you have the question, is this guy being sincere? The answer is no, and move on. Duh, easy. The next person said, I'm just in form 6 and my daisy parents got me nickified. Okay, that's a lot to break down. So daisy parents means like Indian and Pakistani parents, and got her nickified means that she's engaged. Islamically, she's married, but like, I guess legally you're not married yet. You didn't move in. So you're still living at your parents' house, but you're engaged, and Islamic, you're mahram. So that's the situation. So they're basically, Islamically, they're married, but legally they're not married. So they still live in different houses. And so yeah, that's her situation. And she's in form 6. And she said her parents did that because they're afraid that she'll get herself into some haram relationship. And she was like, the official wedding is not happening yet. And the thing is, now I have to meet my husband at least twice a week and talk to him every night. I love him a lot. But the thing is, I'm finding it hard to study along with managing our relationship. And for me, like, my first impression when I read this text is like, do you have like resentment towards your parents for getting you married? Because why would you say it like that? Like, why would you say like, my parents got me nickified because they're afraid I'll get into like a relationship like that, and now I have to meet my husband at least twice a week? Like, okay, come on. Like, it sounds a little bit like resentment, you know? But anyways, if you say you love him, and if he loves you, you just have to manage out, like, figure out a way to make things work. So if you're having DSC in like 2-3 months, right? I think you're having DSC in 2 months, then you have to talk to him and set your priorities for the coming 2 months. Figure out some type of arrangement where you don't have to, like, it doesn't have to be a duty, first of all, that like, oh, I have to call him every single night, like this and this, you know? Figure out some sort of arrangement. Like, if he loves you and you love him, he's gonna make the sacrifice. Like, okay, babe, we're only gonna meet like less now because I have to focus, and for the coming 2 months are the most important 2 months of my life. If I focus in the coming 2 months, maybe I can go from a level 4 to a level 5, from a level 5 to a level 5 star, and that's going to change the whole trajectory of my life. So that's what I'm going to tell you. You have to, communication is like the most important thing in any relationship. So you have to communicate your concerns with him and make it clear to him that that's something that it's important to you and you want to prioritize. And I feel like that's the first thing. And second thing, time management. You need to have like a better schedule, I guess. Like, can you call him when you're in the MTR going from school to home, you know? Or can you like do your calls and like utilize every time that you have to either study or call him, and think of creative ways to incorporate quality time and studying. Like, I don't know, go to a cafe together. Like, you study, go to a cute cafe and study for a bit, you know? Like, it's still, you're still together, you're still spending like some quality time together, but it's also like reaching your goal, and he's also helping to contribute to your dream. So yeah, I feel like that's my key answer is, firstly, time management. Secondly, open communication. Thirdly, creative ways to incorporate it into your life. and figure out figure out whether there's some resentment inside, because these type of resentments, maybe they will be like very minor at this point, but the more you go on words with your relationship, the more time passes by, they would actually build up, and it would explode. So that's just like advice coming from me to you. Don't, like, if there's something that's upsetting you, or like, work through it, try to work through it. Don't let it build up. Yeah. I hope you have an amazing relationship with your husband. Thank you. Next, we got a little complaint, like a rant. And she said, I feel like there's no good guys anymore. Like, every time I see a guy that is low-key attractive, I always end up finding major red flags. And it's just not it. Where do I find my husband, capital, when all these guys just playing around, ... Girl, first of all, I feel you. Like, I'm being so real right now. Sometimes I'm like, why am I so smart? Why am I so emotionally mature? Why do I see all these red flags? Like, why do I just, like, I know the guys, they ruined themselves. They ruined themselves by themselves single-handedly by exposing their red flags. But I'm like, why am I so smart that I catch the red flags? Like, why do I always, like, why? Why do I catch the red flags? But I mean, like, of course, like, thank you, my intuition. Thank you to my brain. Thank you for my sixth sense for always catching these little signs that are massive red flags. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, ugh, where is he? You know, where's the guy? Where's the man? You know? But I mean, my friend, my best friend and I, we always talk about this, and it's that we know that the person that God has planned for us is the perfect guy. He is literally, like, perfect in every single way, because he's the one that God set you up with. Like, I could go out and, like, try to find this guy. There's like 8 billion people in the world right now. I could go out, step foot outside, and try to find that guy by myself. Or I could wait patiently, like a little good girl, for God to send me the guy that he cherry picked, that is the perfect match for me, the one that he chose for me, you know, the one that he thought, okay, so this is my John and this is her guy, this is the guy that I have in mind for her. I could go out and ruin my fate by trying to find that guy by myself, or I should just go with the flow and let God do God, you know. That's why, like, and I know it's like easy to say, and this is something that I honestly, I think it's something that I really got to accept, like, this past year, maybe like past 6 months, that I'm like, okay, I'm gonna lay back, relax. I don't want to think about relationships. I don't want to think about anything, because now I fully trust God that my person is on the way. My person, you know, you go on shopping, online delivery, it's like delivering. Yeah, my person is delivering. We don't know when he's gonna be delivered, but we know that he's in the process. And I'd rather have God send him my way than me look for him, because I don't wanna go around and mess around and find someone that's not my guy and waste my life. I would just rather sit patiently and wait for the guy that God picked for me to arrive. And I remember I saw something like really interesting one time. It was like, God will continue to send you the same mistake, the same test. God will continue to send you the same test again and again until you stop making the same mistakes. And I feel like that's kind of the same situation with a lot of people that are dating right now. If you wait for, if you keep, like, God will send you, like, these guys, these men to tempt you, right? And then if you cave in, and then you just failed the test again, you know, like, then he's going to test you again with another man that's not the one for you. Another one that's not the one for you, you know? And if you cave in, like, and my definition is like, you know, this guy is not the right guy. You know, he's not the one that you want to marry, and you cave in, and that's just going to delay the guy that is actually supposed to come. So the sooner you learn to pass your exam, then you move on from that, and God will send you your right guy. And that's what I truly genuinely believe. So I'm not going to stress about marriage, because I have faith, and I know that when the time is right, and when God knows better, God's timing is the best, and when he knows I'm ready and in a position to enter the next stage in my life, then it will happen natural. And that's what I truly believe. So don't worry about it, girl. Don't worry. Don't, like, don't think about there's no good guys, and you finding red flags, that's just because if you find a red flag, that's just God wants you to find him. You know, that's just God's way of telling you this is not your man because there are red flags. That's it. There were a couple of questions. I'm just going to kind of combine them. And they were from, I guess, younger audiences, because they were asking about what are your thoughts about, like, dating in secondary school? What are your thoughts about, like, just getting into a relationship as teenagers, things like that? And I'm looking at these, like, texts right now, and it's like, I'm not sure if I should get into a relationship or not. There are questions like this, and honestly, I think that why we fall into the trap of, like, dating as teenagers is because of, like, I guess, cinema and Hollywood and movies that we grow up watching. Because, like, yeah, we have, like, teenage urgent tendencies, we have, like, these hormones and everything, but if we didn't grow up watching, like, Cinderella Story and, like, High School Musical and things like that, we would never expect to find our true love in high school, because, like, I know it happens sometimes, but statistically speaking, right, very few people actually meet the love of their life, their forever life partner in secondary school when they're teenagers, you know? And there are success cases, but if you want to look at the statistics of it, it's very unlikely. And I feel like the problem, the reason why it doesn't work out is because when you're like 15, 16, or like even if you're 18, right? The person I was when I was 18 versus now when I'm 22 is so different. The reason these relationships don't work out is along the line when you grow up, you actually become the person that you want to become. Because when you're a teenager, you're not really that person. When you're in school, your environment is totally different. And the more you grow up, you're going to change a lot. And after a certain point, our relationships, our personalities start to settle down. Our identities settle down. So then we're still going to develop as a person, but the whole idea of our identity is pretty much settled, right? So from that point onwards, when you meet someone, there is less chance of you falling apart and, like, growing into completely different people. So that's why I feel like at 16, 17, 18, you don't even know who you are to know what you need in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, when I was 18, like, the standards that I had for a guy, the qualities I was looking for a guy is so different from what I'm looking for right now. Like, I'm looking for something completely different, you know? So that's why I feel like it's just not a good idea. Like, at the end of the day, you're just gonna get heartbroken, and the chances are so less for you, so little for you to actually grow out. And also, dating guys that are your own age, as a girl, I don't really recommend it, because this is science. Like, guys tend to be a little bit behind on the maturity scale from girls. And I'm not saying that's every guy. There are guys that are mature for their age, just like there are girls that are mature for their age. But that's why, that's the thing. If you're like 16, ideally you should be dating someone that's a little bit older than you, so that you're on the same maturity level, right? Because girls mature sooner than guys. So then you're 16 and what, you're going to date someone who's like 19? Pedophilia. So no, you don't want to do that. So then I'm like, you have to just give it time. Like, don't be a little horny teenager. Like, give it time, focus on school. Once you're in uni, like, even if you're in high school, right? Have you seen how many couples break up after high school? Because once you enter university, it's like moving from kindergarten, like, it's moving from, like, a small village to a big city. That's where you're going to meet your husband. Like, the chances of you meeting your husband in high school versus you meeting your husband in university, way bigger. Like, you're going to meet way cooler people in university. Just trust my word, and don't get into a relationship just for the sake of getting into one. Especially if you have, like, if you're a Muslim and you have, like, these religious beliefs, don't do it, because you're going to regret it. Just follow the word of God, and honestly, just try to be a good Muslim and a good kid and study hard, and when you're rich, you can date and marry whoever you want. Okay, first focus on building your life, and then focus on who you want to share your life with. So that's why overall I don't recommend dating at a young age, period. And actually, there was another person who sent me this opinion, and she said that being in relationship at a young age may seem like it's something beautiful, but it's a total waste of time. And it's haram, right? You have to think about God first and then dunya, deen over dunya, you know? And she basically went on to say like how we never listen to our parents when they're telling us not to get into a relationship, but they have gone through some things maybe that they don't want us to go through again because they know relationships better than us. And they know that it's not like forbiddable. I mean, it's not allowed. And like just trying to like hide a relationship and like, you know, like that's just so disgusting. Like, I'm sorry. Like, okay, not disgusting. That just gives me the ick, you know, like hiding a relationship, like you're in love with someone and then you're trying to hide and like sneak away and like, and then you're like breaking up and like you can't talk to anyone about it and you can't even like show it in, like in front of your family or whatever. This is basically what the girl was talking about. And I feel like that's really like you deserve better. You deserve better than sneaking around and like getting McDonald's with a guy. Like, come on, just wait until your time is there and you will get the guy that you deserve. Like, don't like make your, don't like try to sneak around and get into relationships and like be with these like boring lame guys, little boys, just for the sake of experiencing being in a relationship. Like, you deserve better. Like, even now, like I would never ever do relationships. I'm not someone's girlfriend. I'm not someone's like girl. I'm not someone's, this is my girl. Like, ew, I'm somebody's wife. Like, I'm wifey, you know? So you deserve to be wifey. Don't settle being someone's like partner, someone's girl. Like, don't, ew, girlfriend, ew. Wifey, yes. Yeah, that's basically the end of my episode. And I hope that my advice was good for you. I mean, of course they were, but you know, we could agree to disagree on some things. I would really want to hear your feedback about this episode. I mean, do you agree with me? Do you think my things are too controversial? Am I speaking from a place of ignorance because I don't have relationship experience? But, you know, sometimes the people who don't have the experience give you a fresh perspective because we're looking from the outside in, you know? Anyways, don't be too beat up if you're, you know, single on Valentine's. Maybe next year will be your year. Maybe the year after will be your year. At the end of the day, you just have faith that eventually one of the years you're not going to be single anymore because God is going to send your special someone to you. He's on his way, you know? And yeah, I hope you have a good day. I hope you have a great Tuesday. And see you next week. Bye-bye.